don't know where the guy that was sitting here went to. Keith, right? Keith? Keith? You know what his middle name is? His middle name is Alan. You know what my first name is? My first name is Alan. He's Keith Allen. I'm Alan Keith. How about that, huh? You're not too impressed, I can tell. I thought that was kind of bizarre. Keith Allen, Alan Keith. Okay, if I were to ask you, what's your favorite verse in the Bible? Let me just do it. Pete loves the book of Acts. What's your favorite verse in the Bible? This is a Bible class. That means you can talk. Isaiah 6:8. Woe to me, it's undone. Isaiah said, what's the verse, verse 8? I'm unclean, he said in that chapter, I think.
No, he says, who will I call?
Who will I call and who will go first? Yeah, he starts out by recognizing the presence of God. I'm unclean, woe is to me. And then who will go for us? Okay, who else has a favorite verse?
Romans 8:29.
Romans 8:29. We all know verse 28, right? We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And then verse 29 says, there you go. And we talked about predestination this morning a little bit. Somebody else has a favorite verse.
Ephesians 3:20.
My conversation, my citizenship is in heaven. Very good. Did somebody say Philippians 4:13? I can through Christ. Pete loves that verse. I can do all things through Christ. Well, let me share with you one of my favorite verses in all the Bible. In fact, in this verse is God's recipe for revival. And that's really what I want these 3 days to be. Not just a meeting. We come together, we meet and eat, and that's okay. But I want it to be revival for our souls. So, God's recipe for revival. Let's go to 2 Chronicles. Take a Bible and go with me, please, to the book of 2 Chronicles. It comes right after 1 Chronicles. Good place for it, right? So you find 1 Chronicles, then go to the next book, 2 Chronicles. And let's go to chapter 7. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Back in the back, can you hear me? Okay? Okay. 2 Chronicles 7, and look to verse 14. God says to a wise man, a fellow by the name of Solomon, he says, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. Now that's not a short verse, is it? I mean, it's not like Jesus wept. It's not like a pray without ceasing. It's not like rejoice evermore. It's not a tiny short verse. In fact, it's one of the longer verses in all the Bible. But let me tell you something. It's a verse to live by. It's a verse to die by. It's a verse to go to heaven with. It's a verse that can be a huge, incredible blessing to this church and to your life. God said, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. First of all, from this verse, I want you to notice the people. The people. God said, if my people who are called by my name. Now, what are the people of God called today? What's your name?
Nat.
Nat? Nat, what are you religiously, you would say?
Christian.
Christian. Very good. You know, in Old Testament times, the people of God were called Israelites, Jews, Hebrews, seed of Abraham. What about today? We are, Nat, we're Christians. Does anybody know the number of times the name Christian appears in the Bible? Take a guess. Nat, do you know the name Christian appears in the Bible?
Not many.
Not many. You're going to learn something in Bible class. Isn't it good to come to Bible class and learn something? This many times. Some of you knew that. 3 times in the Bible. First of all, it's found in Acts 11 and verse 26. Let me start it and you finish it, okay? Acts 11 and verse 26. The disciples, the followers, were called Christians first in Antioch. It also can be found in Acts 26, verse 28, the very same book, Acts 26, 28, a king said to a preacher, Agrippa said to Paul, I'll start, you finish, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And then it's found in 1 Peter 4, verse 16, Peter said, yet, if any man suffer as a Christian, question, what's a Christian? I say, Ned, what are you? Ned says, man, I'm a Christian, that's wonderful. Well, what's a Christian? What's a Christian? Okay, he's a follower of Christ, a student of Christ, somebody wrapped up in the person of Jesus Christ. A little boy put it like this on one occasion. He said, "Daddy, Daddy, what's a Christian? I go to Sunday school and my teacher's talking about Christian this and Christian that. I don't understand. What's a Christian?" And the wise father said, "Well, son," he got his Bible. He turned over to 1 Peter 4, verse 16. He read the verse, "Yet if any man suffer as a Christian son," he said, "do you see the name Christian?" And the little kid said, "Yes." And the wise father said, "Son, do you see the last three letters in the name Christian?" And the little boy said, "Are you talking about I-A-N? And the daddy said, "Yes." He said, "Son, put the name of Christ over here. C-H-R-I-S-T. Over on this side." He said to his little boy, "Take the last three letters of the name Christian and put them over here. I-A-N. He said, "Son, let the I stand for I. Let the A stand for ain't. Let the N stand for nothing." And he said to his little boy, "Son, without Christ, Christ over here, without Christ, I ain't nothing. I'm nothing without Jesus." So when we talk about God's people today, we're talking about us, the people right here in this room. Followers of Christ, students of Christ, people who belong to Christ, people who are wrapped up in the name of Jesus Christ. God said, "If my people who are called by my name," in the second place, from 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 14, I want you to notice God's plan. See, God has a plan for His people. What is God's plan for His people? What does God want? Well, let's go back to the text, okay? We're going to let God answer the question by looking at 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 14. God said, "If my people who are called by my name," what's your plan, God? What's the very first step in the plan, class? You got to be humble. God said, "I want you to be humble." Do you remember Proverbs chapter 6? Six things the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination. The very first sin on the list. Do you remember? God says, "I hate a what? Proud look." I don't want you to be proud. I don't want you to be arrogant. I want you to be humble. I hate a proud look. Micah chapter 6. Micah the prophet asked the question, "What does the Lord require? What does God want? What is God's plan for His people?" Do you remember the answer? Micah 6 verse 8. God says, "I want you to love mercy. I want you to act justly. And I want you to walk humbly." Right? You say, "Keith, that's Old Testament. We're not Old Testament people. We're New Testament people." Let me give you some New Testament. Matthew chapter 5. The greatest sermon that was ever preached was not preached by me or your preachers. It was preached by our brother Jesus. And what did Jesus say in Matthew 5 verse 3? The great Sermon on the Mount, He starts out like this. "Blessed are the poor in spirit." What does that mean, poor in spirit? You know what Jesus is saying? Happy are the humble. You want to be blessed? Happy are the humble. Be humble. Matthew chapter 13. Jesus does this. Pink shirt, you'll do. Come here. What's your name?
Chase.
Chase? Chase, how old are you?
14.
You're going to be insulted, but I'm going to call you a child, okay? 14. I know a 14-year-old doesn't want to be called a child, but we'll call old Chase a child. Jesus calls old Chase, and He says, "You want to be great? I tell you, you've got to be humble. Anybody that humbles himself like a child, the same as the greatest in the kingdom of God." Thank you, Chase. You going to be a preacher? Sure you are. Do your head like this. 1 Peter 5, in verse 6, Peter said, "Be clothed with humility." What's your name?
Luke.
You became my brother just a few weeks ago, right? Became a Christian just a few weeks ago. Just like Luke has on that beautiful green outfit, that green shirt, Peter said, "You be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble." So time after time after time, both the Old Testament and the New Bible, God says, "I want my people to be humble." Be humble enough to say, "I'm sorry." Be humble enough to say, "Pray for me. I need to be prayed for." Be humble enough to say, "It was my fault." God says, "I want my people to be humble." What's the next step in God's plan, class? God said, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and what? Pray. Pray. I want you to pray. How many of you have one of these? A cell phone. Everybody have a... Is there anybody in this audience that does not have a cell phone? I know this is a dinosaur. I don't have a smartphone, folks. This is a dinosaur phone, okay? This is one of these flip phones. I talk on it. I don't text. You know, I don't do all that. I can talk on my phone. That's all I do, okay? It's not a smartphone. It's a dumb phone. I don't want a phone smarter than me, okay? Is there anybody that does not have a cell phone? Who does not have a cell phone? You don't have a cell phone?
My grandkids.
Your grandkids. You got smart grandkids, or you're a smart granddaddy.
They're the only ones.
They're the only ones. I'm so proud of y'all. I really am. I mean, you walk into these restaurants, everybody is, you know, they're not talking, they're doing this. Have you noticed? They're just kind of looking at their phone. That's amazing to me. I ought to put the phones down and start talking to each other once in a while. God has a phone number. You know God's, does anybody know God's phone number? You know your own phone number, right? You know God's phone number? You don't know God's phone number? You're going to learn something in Bible class. God has a phone number. Here's His phone number. Some of you need to write it down. You can't remember it, okay? But there are three numbers. Can you remember three numbers? Here they are. 3-3-3. God's phone number. I just given it to you. 3-3-3. Luke, 3-3-3. Jeremiah 33 and verse 3. Jeremiah 33 and verse 3. You know what God said? He said, call, do what? Call to me and I will answer. Isn't that good? 3-3-3, Jeremiah 33 and verse 3. God said, call to me and I will answer. See, God says, I want my people to pray. I don't know of anything you can't pray about. I don't know what you worry about, but Paul said, don't worry. Philippians 4 verse 6, pray. Pray about everything and anything. God said, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, and what's the next part of God's plan, class? What's your Bible say? Seek His face. God says, I want you to seek me. When you hear the word seek, is there any Bible verse that comes to your mind? Seek. Seek and you shall find, Matthew 7 and verse 7. Another same sermon. I think about Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first. God says, hey, I want to be first in your life. Don't put your hobbies first. Don't put your job first. Don't even put your family first. I want to be first. God says, put me first. Seek a relationship with me. So God says, here's my plan. If my people who are called by my name shall, step number one, be humble. It starts with humility. Humility causes us to look up in prayer, pray to God, and to seek a relationship with God, to seek His face. What's the next part of God's plan? Turn from their wicked ways. You say, Keith, I don't understand. I don't know what He's talking about. You don't know what He's talking about? Let me show you what He's talking about, okay? Hold your Bible. In 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14, put a finger there, put a card there, a string there, and flip over to the New Testament. Flip to our text for the weekend. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And let's start in verse 9. Verse 9. Paul asked this question, don't you know, don't you remember? Be not deceived. Don't you know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? What are you talking about, Paul? He says, be not deceived. You talk about wicked ways? Here are some wicked ways. Be not deceived. Neither, what's the first one on the list, class? Fornicators. Now, what does that mean? Let's put that in human, cornbread language. Fornicators. Don't commit sexual sin. It's a broad term that includes a number of sexual misbehaviors. Don't use your body for sexual sin. In fact, do you remember right here in this same book, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 18, you know what Paul said? Paul said, hey, run from fornication. Flee fornication. Why? Because every sin that a man does is without the body, but he that commits fornication sins against his own body. And then he says, don't you know, you're Christians, you're my people, God says, don't you know that your body is the home, the temple of the Holy Spirit? Everybody look up here, folks. Everybody look. Do you see this body? This 6'3", 200 and pound body. You see this body? You know who lives in this body? Who lives in this body? Keith, I live in this body. But somebody else lives in this body. You know who? God, through His Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives in this body. And Paul says, hey, you would not commit sexual immorality if your mother were watching. If your daddy were watching, you wouldn't go out and sleep with somebody that you're not married to. What if the Holy Spirit is watching? Truth about it is, the Holy Spirit is watching. Because the Holy Spirit lives in this body. So when God says, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, you know what he's talking about? Well, one of the sins he's talking about, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, he's talking about the sin of fornication. What's the next one on the list? Idolatry. What does that mean? Do you have idols in your life? You say, Keith, I've never fallen down before a golden calf. What about the almighty dollar? What about TV, the internet? What about some hobby, golf or fishing? Nothing wrong with playing golf, nothing wrong with fishing, but do you put things before God? Are things your God or is God your God? Hey, one of the great Ten Commandments, in fact, the very first of the great ten, don't have any other gods before me. That's something we need to turn from. Idolatry. What's the next one on the list, class? Adultery. What does that mean? If I'm married, don't have sex, Keith, with somebody that's not your wife. Don't be sleeping around. Again, fornication is a broader word. It would include any number of sexual misbehaviors, lust in the heart, looking at stuff we ought not to be looking at. Adultery is a little bit more specific. Don't be unfaithful to your marriage vows. Don't sleep with somebody that you're not married to. Adultery. What's the next one on the list? Say it again. Your Bible say homosexuals? Wow. If you don't understand 1 Corinthians 6, starting in verse 9. If you don't understand it from your Bible, get another Bible. Read it from another translation. Read from the easy-to-read Bible. There's a Bible that's called the easy-to-read Bible. And I like it. You know why? It's easy to read. And the easy-to-read Bible talks about men sleeping with men. Homosexuals. That's what we're talking about. Don't commit homosexuality. Don't do that. Don't have sex with a person that you're not married to, but somebody of your own sex. I mean, this is pretty plain, but that's what the elders wanted me to talk to you about, turning from stuff. What's the next one on the list? Say it again. Sodomites. Okay, you remember the city of Sodom? What happened to Sodom? God didn't like it. Wiped them off the map, right? Kind of the same thing. Go ahead, the next one. Thieves. That's in verse 10. Is it verse 10 now? We've moved to verse 10. Thieves. We understand that. Don't steal. What's the next one? Covetousness. Don't be greedy. Don't want things. Have the excessive, unhealthy desire. It's not just a desire for stuff. It's the unhealthy, excessive desire. Don't be greedy. What's the next one? Is it drunkard? We understand that. You say, Keith, is it okay to drink a little wine? What about a beer? I'm not going to get drunk. What about a beer now and then? My encouragement to you, leave it alone. Leave it alone completely. That would be my encouragement to you. What we could all say is God doesn't want us to get drunk, okay? Don't be a drunkard. What's the next one on the list? Revilers. What does that mean? Revilers. Do you revile? Revilers. Who's a reviler? Somebody who doesn't have a kind, sweet, loving spirit, a reviler, somebody that insults others, puts people down, gossip? Uh-oh. You ever gossip? You ever talk about people's not wrong? It's okay to talk about people. But what do you say about others? Do you put them down? It's so easy to blast instead of build. We want you to be a builder. Be like Barnabas. Build. Don't blast. Don't revile. Don't insult. Put people down. Don't gossip. Don't speak evil of people. Okay, he says, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners. What does your Bible say? Extortioners. It's the same thing. Extortioners. What does that mean? Extort God's word. Y'all go home, study that one. I'm not even sure myself. Extortioners. What does the other translation say? What? Extortioners. Swindlers. It's not a, I don't know how to put it. It's not a good thing. Don't be an extortioner. You say, Keith, I don't know what it is. Study for yourself, okay? Don't be these things. Paul says, don't be, such were some of you. You say, Keith, what should I turn from? Well, here's a pretty good list to turn from in 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10, right? See, God says, I've got a plan for my people. Here's my plan. If my people who are called by my name, starts with humility, look up in prayer. Prayer leads to seeking a relationship with God. And that means we've got to give up some things. We've got to change. We've got to turn from our wicked ways. Now, time's almost gone. In fact, this is a... Y'all have bells in this church? I thought y'all didn't believe in instruments in the church. This is an instrumental church, huh? Bells. Are y'all a one-bell church or a two-bell church? Two bells. Has the first bell rung? Hasn't rung yet. Okay. They told me to stop about 20, 25 after. It's 20 after. But we haven't gotten to the last part of the verse. The last part of the verse is the promise. See, God has a promise. In fact, He has three promises. Notice the promises He makes. 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 14. God says, if my people will just follow my plan. What's promise number one? God says, I will hear from heaven. Folks, I want to make a statement to you. You be the judge of the statement. I believe that God hears and answers every prayer that His people pray. Would you agree with that? I believe that He hears and He answers every prayer that His people pray. Sometimes His answer is yes. I think about Elijah. What did Elijah pray for? Okay, God, don't let it rain. Guess what? It didn't rain. Then he prayed, Lord, let it rain. Guess what? It rained. Sometimes He says yes. Sometimes He says wait. Can you think of anybody in the Bible that prayed a prayer and God said wait? Who? Sarah? Did somebody say Sarah? What did Sarah pray for? A child? I assume she did. I'm not sure I can find a verse in the Bible that says Sarah prayed for a child. She wanted a child. Abraham wanted a child. Sure, they prayed. I do know that Zechariah and Elizabeth prayed. You remember the story? They were young. They were in love. They got married. More than anything in the world, they wanted a little baby. And so they pray and they pray and they pray. And then they wait and they wait and they wait. And now they're old people. They're like old Edwin. They're old, right? 71, Edwin. Where is that? Edwin, 71?
Almost.
He said his birthday is going to be next month. Hey, y'all throw him a birthday party, okay? Throw him a birthday party in May. Huh?
I might not be around much longer.
Oh, that's right. You might not be around much longer. He's an old guy. Just like old Zachariah and Elizabeth, they were old. Too old to have a little baby. And all of a sudden the angel comes and says, Zachariah, your prayer has been heard. Prayer? What prayer? You're going to have a son. His name's going to be John. He's going to be a preacher like you've always wanted. When do you think that Zechariah and Elizabeth started praying that prayer? When they were old or when they were young? No doubt when they were young, able to have kids. But they pray and they pray and they pray and then they wait and they wait and they wait. See, sometimes God says, yes, it's yours for the asking. Sometimes He says, wait, time's not right, folks. God's delays are not necessarily God's denials. Sometimes yes, sometimes wait. Sometimes He says no. Can you think of anybody in the Bible that prayed a prayer and God said no? Paul, yeah. What did Paul pray for? Thorn in the flesh? What was that? I don't know. I think it was his eyesight. In fact, he says in Galatians chapter 4, if possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. Why would Paul say that? Maybe his thorn in the flesh was maybe that blindness that perhaps occurred partially on the way to Damascus. I don't know. Whatever it was, God said, my grace is sufficient. So sometimes God says yes. God sometimes says wait. Sometimes God says I love you too much. No, I love you too much to give you what you asked for. Promise number one, I will hear from heaven. What's the second promise? I'll forgive your sin. Now, let me show you what forgiveness literally means. Okay, everybody watch. Forgiveness, this is what it means. You want me to do it again, Pete? Let's wake up some of these people, son. Forgiveness. It's a release. It's a letting go. God says, I tell you, if you'll follow my plan, I'll forgive your sin. I'll let go of your sin. I'll turn it loose. I would say to those of you who are not Christians, well, what Peter preached, Acts 2:38, we talked about it this morning, repent and be baptized for the letting go of sin. I would say to you, if you are a Christian, what John said in 1 John 1 and verse 9, if we confess our sins, when was the last time you confessed? Honestly. When was the last time you called a brother and said, hey, I need you to pray for me? When was the last time you came forward in church? Maybe you went to the elders and said, I'm struggling with something. See, John said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to let go. Promise number one, I will hear from heaven. Promise number two, I'll forgive their sin. And you say, Keith, we're getting close to the end of the verse. And we are. What's promise number three? I'll what? Heal your land. How many of you have ever traveled outside the United States? Anybody outside the United States? Wow, you're traveling people. Where have you traveled to? Germany. I landed in Germany once. Haven't visited there. What about the rest of you? Where have you been? South America. I've been there. Indonesia. I can't even pronounce that, let alone been there. New Zealand, okay. I've been to a number of places. I've been to Mexico, been to Canada, been to Cuba, been to the Bahamas, been to Jamaica. I've been to Russia, been to India, been to the Bible lands. I've been to Mississippi. You know, I've been to a lot of places, you know. And every time I travel outside the United States, I'm reminded we're living in the greatest country in the world. Would you agree with that? See, I stand before you and I say, I'm proud to be an American. I kind of feel like old Lee Greenwood. Remember the song? From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston, from New York to L.A., there's pride in every American's heart. And it's time that we stand and we say, I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died and gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. Because there ain't no doubt, I love this land. God bless the USA. That's the way I feel. See, I am so proud to be an American. But I tell you folks, morally and spiritually, America needs to be healed. And God said, hey, if my people will just follow my plan, I tell you, promise number one, I'll hear from heaven. Number two, I'll forgive their sin. Promise number three, I'll heal their land. Isn't that a great verse? You talk about God's recipe, God's plan for revival. 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. He talks about His people, His plan, and His promises. What a verse. Well, are you ready to eat? Hey, love to have you to eat lunch with us. Stay and eat lunch. Have a little fellowship. And then we'll come back in here and I'll preach another little sermon from sinners to servants. You're not going to want to miss that lesson. And then you can go home, take your nap, whatever. I'll tell you what, let's do. We're going to have a prayer. And could we go ahead and pray for the food? Would that be okay? Have a prayer, pray for the food. And then I'm not sure, just don't get trampled in the line. Everybody stampede into the cafeteria back here. Fellowship hall, whatever you call it. Let's pray.